The Lord of the harvest is calling, for laborers true in his field. Together the sheaves ere they perish, when mercy no more is revealed. We bask in the sunlight of glory, on heavenly manna we're fed, while souls o'er the ocean in darkness are starving for life-giving bread. They're perishing now, yet Jesus to save them has died. God paid them the debt that we owe them. Those souls who in darkness abide.
The Mission Trail is on the air. It is my happy privilege to introduce to you the Mission Trail with your speaker, Brother Willie C. Murphy of Guthrie, Oklahoma. Please pray that his ministry may be a blessing to all who hear him. And let us remember the words of the Master as recorded in John 4 and 35. Say not ye, there are yet 4 months, and then cometh harvest. Behold, I say unto you, lift up your eyes and look on the fields, for they are white already to harvest.
They're perishing now, yet Jesus to save them has died. Go pay them the debt that we owe them, those souls who in darkness abide.
And now, here is Brother Murphy.
Thank you, Brother Leslie, and greetings to all who are in tune with the Mission Trail broadcast today. It affords me great joy to be back with you again. I have a text found in 1 Chronicles 29 and 5, which I would like to bring to you at this time. And who then is willing to consecrate his service this day unto the Lord? This is a question David asked when preparations were being made for King Solomon to build a great and magnificent temple of the Lord. Now, if this was an important question in that day, I am sure it is even more so in this modern 20th century. And who then is willing to consecrate his service this day unto the Lord? You may ask yourself, what have I that God can use? Well, simply this. God is looking for consecrated material to use in his great work. And if you are wholly dedicated to him, he can and will take and use you for his glory. Let us look at the example of the miracle of the loaves and fishes in St. John, the 6th chapter and beginning at the 5th verse. When Jesus lifted up his eyes and saw a great company come unto him, he saith unto Philip, When shall we buy bread that these may eat? And this he said to prove him, for he himself knew what he would do. Philip answered him, 200 pennyworth of bread is not sufficient for them, that every one of them may take a little. One of his disciples, Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, said unto him, There is a lad here which hath 5 barley loaves and 2 small fishes, but what are they among so many? And Jesus said, Make the men sit down. Now there was much grass in the place. So the men sat down in number about 5,000. And Jesus took the loaves, and when he had given thanks, he distributed to the disciples, and the disciples to them that were set down, and likewise of the fishes as much as they would. When they were filled, he said unto his disciples, Gather up the fragments that remain, that nothing be lost. Therefore they gathered them together, and filled 12 baskets with the fragments of the 5 barley loaves, which remained over and above unto them that had eaten. Then those men, when they had seen the miracle that Jesus did, said, "This is of a truth that prophet that should come into the world." Now notice in verse 9 that there was a lad who had 5 barley loaves and 2 small fishes. In my mind, I can visualize this young boy's mother hurriedly preparing him a little lunch. That morning, when he started out to follow Jesus, she may not have had much to give him for a lunch, but noticed the small loaves of bread and the 2 small fishes which were readily available. These were placed together, and away the lad went to follow the master. Now we're coming to the important part of this lesson. The lad could have refused to offer his lunch to be divided with others, and he would have had an ample supply of food for himself until he reached home again. He had been more thoughtful than many of the others who had brought nothing at all to eat. If this lad had thought that he was being deprived of his lunch, which he had been so careful to bring along in the midst of the great crowd which was following Jesus in that day of long ago, he might have sat down and cried about it when Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, took the loaves and fishes to bring them to the master. But no, I believe the lad was joyful and willing to give his lunch to the master. No doubt he had not the slightest thought in his mind that Christ would feed the entire 5,000 with his small lunch when he started out that day. But when he became willing to give his all, it brought a great joy to him to see the many who were fed and the abundance which remained of his small lunch, an astonishing total of 12 baskets, even after every one had been filled and their appetite satisfied. So in the now famous words of the late John F. Kennedy, let me revise them somewhat to say, "Ask not what God can do for you, but what can I do for God?" There are those who are rich in the worldly possessions which they have, and yet they are not happy because they are only holding them for their own selfish interests. The same thing is true of others who only possess very little of earthly goods, but they are also unwilling to give God a chance to use what they have to His glory. Not only is one required to consecrate his possessions to God, but also his life, his time, and his health. When one is wholly consecrated to the service of God, the Master will take his all and multiply its usefulness many times over again. Now take the example of the widow woman who fed Elijah, as recorded in 1 Kings 17 and verse 10. "So he arose and went to Zarephath, and when he came to the gate of the city, behold, a widow woman was there gathering of sticks. And he called to her and said, 'Fetch me, I pray thee, a little water in a vessel, that I may drink.' And as she was going to fetch it, he called to her and said, 'Bring me, I pray thee, a morsel of bread in thine hand.' And she said, 'As the Lord thy God liveth, I have not a cake, but an handful of meal in a barrel, and a little oil in a cruse. And behold, I am gathering 2 sticks, that I may go in and dress it for me and my son, that we may eat it and die.' And Elijah said unto her, 'Fear not, go and do as thou hast said. But make me thereof a little cake first, and bring it unto me, and after make for thee and for thy son. For thus saith the Lord God of Israel, the barrel of meal shall not waste, neither shall the cruse of oil fail until the day that the Lord sendeth rain upon the earth.' And she went and did according to the saying of Elijah, and she and he and her house did eat many days. And the barrel of meal wasted not, neither did the cruse of oil fail, according to the word of the Lord which he spake by Elijah." Now this widow woman was about to prepare her last meal, but when the call came from the prophet of God, she became willing to share her last morsel with others, and God in turn blessed her with an abundance. For the barrel of meal wasted not, neither did the cruse of oil fail. At this time, I would like for Francis to say a few words to our many listeners. Here's Francis.
Yes, I am glad to be with you on the air today. We are much encouraged in the work of the Lord and trust that each one of you are also. Now, I have a poem for you, The Touch of the Master's Hand. 'Twas battered and scarred, and the auctioneer thought it scarcely worth his while to waste much time on the old violin, but held it up with a smile. "What am I bidding, good folks?" he cried. "Who'll start the bidding for me? A dollar? A dollar? Then two. Only two? $2. And who'll make it three? $3 once, $3 twice, going for three? But no." From the room far back, a gray-haired man came forward and picked up the bow. Then, wiping the dust from the old violin and tightening the loose strings, he played a melody pure and sweet as a carolyn angel sings. The music ceased, and the auctioneer, with a voice that was quiet and low, said, "What am I bid for the old violin?" And he held it up with the bow. $1,000, and who'll make it two? $2,000, and who'll make it three? $3,000 once, $3,000 twice, and going and gone," said he. The people cheered, but some of them cried, "We do not quite understand what changed its worth." Swift came the reply, "The touch of the master's hand." And many a man with life out of tune and battered and scarred with sin is auctioned cheap to the thoughtless crowd, much like the old violin. A mess of pottage, a glass of wine, a game, and he travels on. He is going once and going twice. He's going and almost gone. But the master comes, and the foolish crowd can never quite understand the worth of a soul and the change that is wrought by the touch of the master's hand.
Thank you, Francis, for one of my favorite poems. I hope it may be an inspiration to someone who is separated from God to find his way home to Father and receive a special touch from the master's hand. And now, let us agree in prayer together. Our gracious Father, we come to Thee at this time acknowledging our need of divine help. We pray for those who have special requests. Comfort the hearts of those who may be in trouble. Encourage those who may be faltering. And give a strong faith to those who may be sick for their speedy recovery. And Father, we do not forget the great task before Thy people to carry the good news of Thy power to deliver from sin to all the world. Help Thy people to be busy about the Father's business, for we ask it in the name of Christ our Savior. Amen. Friends, my time is almost gone, but I do want to tell you that you are in tune with the Mission Trail broadcast of Guthrie, Oklahoma. If you would like a typewritten copy of the message today, you may have one free of charge by writing and requesting it. Ask for message number 2165. Address your request to the Mission Trail, Guthrie, Oklahoma. Now, until our next broadcast, this is your speaker, Willie Murphy, saying may God bless you each and every one. Good night.